said, go in my name, go in my stead. Don't say I have, say I am. I am, I am, I am, I am. That's why you'll never, ever, ever have to say I'm sick. How can you be sick if you're the new creation?
That's popular televangelist Benny Hinn on the subject of sickness. Is Benny Hinn right? A Christian should never say they're sick because, after all, a Christian is the new creation. If we are a new creation, what is the role of sickness, illness, disease, and ultimately death in the life of the Christian? It is God's will, some of the televangelists tell us, that not only you never be sick, that you never admit you are sick. To admit you are sick is to give in to the power of the enemy. Does all sickness come from the devil? What is the real origin of sickness and illness? And then, what is God's real solution to sickness and illness? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Sunday night, September the 19th. Feel free to join us as we talk about healing with Pastor Mark Sell. 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We also have our Issues Etc. forum back up. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section. You'll find the forum there. You can post questions or comments on the subject of healing during these 2 hours of Issues Etc. Our guest during this hour, Pastor Mark Sell, Senior Editor of Academic, Professional, and Consumer Books for Concordia Publishing House, based here in St. Louis. Mark, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
What is wrong with the popular notion of faith healing that we heard evidence in the likes of Benny Hinn there in the open?
Well, the problem with faith healing in the popular notion is that it's it tends to want to focus on the person. In other words, faith is seen as something that is purely subjective. Faith then becomes something that you are in charge of. Faith is something that you must do, and you must have enough trust or faith in Jesus before he will heal you. And all of a sudden, you're the one who is filled with sin. You're the one who is messed up. And so therefore, in order to overcome your illness or your disease, you've got to do something to trust more in Jesus. And what it ends up doing, it turns the whole Christianity from something that focuses on Christ and his work for us, it turns it into me and how much I'm going to trust Jesus. It becomes very man-centered, where the focus is on the person who has to do enough trusting.
Okay, let's hear another example of the popular faith healing error, this time from Kenneth Copeland.
Now remember, pain has come, disaster has come. Now, for a while, you're going to have to stop and control and discipline yourself. And every time, you're going to have to make the decision, I refuse to consider my body. I refuse to be moved by what I see and what I feel.
Now, is this good advice for a Christian if they are ill, to refuse to consider their body? Is this a good view of how the Christian ought to regard his body and illness in his life?
No, not at all. Because, again, When you tell a person to do that, especially when it's in the context of being sick and being suffering from a disease or cancer or Alzheimer's or ALS or something like this, what you're doing is you're telling the person to look back into their own body and determine what's going on with their own body instead of looking outside of themselves. Because the truth of Christianity is that the help and the hope and the peace and the comfort comes from outside of us. It comes from Jesus Christ, who's done the work for us, the one who's bringing order and peace back into the world, not to look at myself, and then therefore I've got to climb this huge ladder and overcome my own illness from a subjective understanding of faith and spirituality.
So it's not a matter of either not admitting that you're sick, a la Benny Hinn, or denying the reality of illness, in a la Kenneth Copeland. Let's hear from one more popular word faith and faith healing teacher, this time Fred Price.
How can you glorify God in your body when it doesn't function right? How can you glorify God? How can he get glory when your body doesn't even work? And the Bible says your body is the temple. He lives, the Holy Spirit lives in your body. What makes you think the Holy Ghost wants to live inside of a body where it can't see out through the windows and it can't hear with the ears? What makes you think the Holy Spirit wants to live inside of a physical body where the limbs and the organs and the cells do not function right? You don't want to live in a house with a leaky roof. You don't want to live in a house where the toilets are running over on the floor. You don't want to live in a run-down, broken-down house where the electricity doesn't work and the wires are hanging out of the wall. You get it fixed because you say this house can't function rightly unless everything is functioning as it was designed to function. How do you think then that God can get the glory out of your body when your body is the temple where God lives, and he wants, and what makes you think he wants to live in a temple where he can't see out of the eyes and he can't walk with the feet and he can't move with the hands? Because the only hands that he has in the earth realm are the hands that are in the body. The only eyes that he has that are in the earth realm are the eyes that are in the body. If he can't see out of them, then God's going to be limited. He's not going to be helped.
That's Fred Price. Is this true, Mark, that God cannot be glorified in a sick body and that God will be hampered by human illness?
No, as a matter of fact, the whole nature of Christianity itself focuses on suffering and the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ itself. Therefore, the theology of the cross itself, that's a way of looking at Christianity. When we realize the true glory of God, sometimes people look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and want to say, there's the glory of God. But the truth of Christianity is the glory of God is in the cross of Jesus Christ and what he did there. It is in the cross of Christ where he suffered. It is God himself who gave up everything that he had in eternity, who, as God said, I will set aside these powers and this honor and this glory, and I will be conceived by in a virgin. I will live in the womb. I will be born of this virgin. I will be raised by a stepfather. I will go through this life, and I will get to that cross, and on that cross I will pay for the sins of the whole world. And that suffering of hell on the cross is the very essence of Christianity that saves our soul and yet actually brings together all of both the physical and spiritual realities as they come together. So when these kinds of preachers go about speaking this way, what they're doing is they're actually moving away from Christianity, because they're thinking that this world and our salvation really took place in the resurrection, when in reality our salvation took place on the cross, and the resurrection therefore is the foretaste of the future, the foretaste of our own resurrection. Christ's resurrection is just the "I told you I would rise from the dead. I told you so." But while we are still on this earth, we suffer under the theology of the cross. In other words, suffering becomes something that's very important to us.
Contrast that then, and I can hear that echoed in Scripture where Paul talks about, I rejoice in my sufferings, I boast in my sufferings. But contrast that with the theology of glory, the so-called theology of glory, as we hear it in Word Faith preachers.
Okay, the theology of glory would say, well, to put it simply, well, now that you're a Christian, your life is going to be a bowl of cherries. Everything is going to go your way. You're going to become wealthy. You're never going to be sick anymore. Your diseases are all going to be healed because of this. In other words, it's focusing on what this world would consider the glorious things, the wealth, the physical perfection, the ability to have all things on this earth. Instead of understanding, and that is how it contrasts with theology of the cross, where in the cross we realize, living in a sinful world, that we will suffer as the result of sin, being our own sins, our particular sins, but just the whole context of sin. And so we realize then that in the theology of the cross, God comes to us in our own crosses. He comes to us in our sicknesses and our hurts and our diseases and our pains and our sufferings, because we then have a taste of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ himself.
One more question on that subject. Under a theology of glory, where if everything's going well, then God must be blessing me, and if I'm a true Christian, then I won't be sick, or I won't be as sick as I was before. If things aren't going well, if I do fall sick, where does then that theology of glory point the person?
Well, I think it what it does is it points the person back to himself instead of Christ. And it points the person into this world instead of understanding by faith who Christ is, what Christ has done, and the reality that we have in our faith in Christ for the next world as well. So I think what happens then is when a person goes along those lines and tries to look at the theology of the glory and looking at this worldly things, then we end up focusing on this world instead of what Christ has given us.
Pastor Mark Sell is our guest. He's senior editor of Academic, Professional, and Consumer Books for Concordia Publishing House based here in St. Louis. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Our forum is up and running as well at our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section, and there you will find a place to post your questions and your comments. As we talk about healing during this hour of Issues Etc., issuesetc.org, look under the What's New section for the Issues Etc. forum. That call-in number again, 1-800-730-2727. The basic distinction made here already in this conversation between the theology of the cross, where God's glory is most perfectly seen in suffering, where God's strength is shown in weakness. That's what the cross was about. There at the cross, where Christ suffers, where Christ is weak, where Christ dies, God's strength, God's wisdom, God's glory, our salvation is revealed. And this is the shape of the Christian life, as opposed to the lies of the faith healers who say that somehow it's all got to be restored. All the order's got to be put back right here, right now, or otherwise your faith isn't strong enough. Maybe you're really not a Christian. Maybe God really isn't for you. Maybe you're letting the enemy have the upper hand. When we come back, we're going to talk about the origin of sickness and death, and the role of healing in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, the ministry of Jesus our Lord, and the apostles. Are the biblical accounts of miraculous healing, are they normative for the church today? We'll answer all of those questions on the other side of this break. Pastor Mark Sell is our guest.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is looking for one member from each Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation to become our official lay representative. Responsibilities simply involve promotion of Issues Etc. in your local church. Now, if you're interested, leave your name, phone number, and mailing address, and your congregation's name, city, and state on our automated resource line, 1-800-737-0172, or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Folks, we're basing a lot of tonight's conversation on healing on our Issues Etc. book of the month for September called Order Restored, A Biblical Interpretation of Health Medicine and Healing. Now, you can find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section. You'll find more information on the book, Order Restored, or you can order the book by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours. Their number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Order Restored costs $20.99 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. Order Restored, our Issues Etc. book of the month for September. Mark, let's talk about the origin of sickness, illness, disease, whatever name you want to put on it, ultimately death. What are the biblical origins of these things?
Well, Todd, what I'd like to do before I even get to that is talk a little bit about what happened before the origin of the illnesses, the diseases, death, and whatnot. Of course, we're going to move to sin, but before we talk about that, I think we need to realize the unity that exists in the Old Testament, especially between the things that are spiritual and the things that are physical. And simply because we realize that in the Old Testament, God is the creator of all things. We go right back to Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 2, when you look at humanity itself, male and female, we've got to remember that according to Genesis 2:7, the Lord Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's how man became a living creature. So you have the unity of life and the breath of God himself giving life to the dust of the ground, and you have this wonderful coming together of God's creation and God himself giving life to man. And so that was the crowning glory of creation, where after God spoke and created everything, he then created mankind, and then of course gave Adam Eve as well. And so you already have this unity of God breathed and man from the dust of the ground coming together, and everything was perfect and in proper order. Everything was the Garden of Eden. It was the way it was supposed to be. The relationship between God and man was holy. It was completely together. And then where we then get into trouble, of course, is sin. When you turn to Genesis chapter 3, sin has come into the world. And then I think we could realize that now the order is falling apart. The order is broken down by sin itself. The result of sin in Genesis 3, to the woman, God said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, he shall rule over you. To Adam, because you listened to the voice of your wife and eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, etc. So sin has brought these kinds of things into the world, has brought the breaking down of the order of God, the breaking down of the relationship between God and man, as well as the breaking down of creation itself. And so therefore, illnesses, disease, sicknesses, and even death is the result of the sin. So in one sense, sin is the problem. Sin is the problem because it totally destroyed the relationship between God and man, but not just God and man in a spiritual sense, but God and men even in the physical sense, because, and this is why I brought up the Genesis 2:7, that being the dust from the earth, or man being formed from the dust of the ground and God breathing into him, because we need to realize that as a human being, I am spirit and body at the same time, and so therefore the breaking down is not just spiritual, it also affects the physical reality that we live.
So that explains the origin of illness and sickness in this world. Is it correct then to take the next step and say, if I get sick, that must be tied to some particular sin I have committed? Maybe what I need to do is find out what unrepented sin I have, and then I'll get well.
Well, I think when we start thinking like that, then we take a one-to-one correspondence, if you will, of sin. And I think that's the wrong understanding of it, because Jesus has to answer this idea of this retribution theory of sin. In other words, where, you know, I do this sin and therefore God's going to slap me. But Jesus himself was confronted with this when his disciples asked him in John chapter 9, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. I mean, so there's a whole nother understanding that God allows these things to take place, and it's, you don't get slapped for every individual sin. The problem is sin in its bigger picture, sin in the general sense, sin in a decaying world, that because we live in a sinful reality, these kinds of things happen, and sinfulness brings diseases and death, and yet God does not slap a person down for every sin. Otherwise, if God was going to slap us down for every single sin, then none of us would be alive.
What I hear, Mark, when I listen to the popular faith healers, is kind of a dualism. You talk about the unity that Scripture presents that man is of both spirit and body, or soul and body. But I hear a dualism in their teaching, in some of them, where they talk about denying what's going on in the body in favor of what they would probably call the spiritual reality. Would you respond to that?
Sure. One of the problems that we have, especially in the Western Church, is this dualism that has crept into all of our thinking, and it really manifests itself in the Christian Church, because we think that I want to be spiritual, and the physical world is something that's apart from me, that's separate from me. And then what they've done is they've taken the body and separated the body from the soul. But when you take Scripture as a whole, and you look at the Old Old and the New Testament, God has this completely unified understanding of man, of a man. Whereas you realize it's not that I have a soul, but I am a soul. It's not that I have a body. I am the body. I am all this altogether. And so this duality of trying to separate spirituality from the physical reality is a false dichotomy. It's a false distinction because it separates who we really are as human beings. And this is why we end up into so much trouble with homosexuality and marriage and family and all of these kinds of things, is we separate the spiritual from the physical reality, and they are one.
We're talking with Pastor Mark Sell about healing during this hour. Folks, the next Issues Etc. journal is going to be mailed early in October. Now, there's still time for you to get a complimentary copy of that Issues Etc. journal. Just call this number, 1-800-737-0172. Call during this break that's coming up here, 1-800-737-0172, and ask for a free issue of the Issues Etc. journal. Now, this next one contains my cover article called The Fad-Driven Church. It answers the question, why so many pastors and congregations today worship at the altar of novelty and the latest Christian craze? Why can you walk into any Christian bookstore and find there displayed prominently right in the very front of the store exactly what your church is going to be doing, preaching, maybe singing and praying in the next few weeks? Why is the church so driven by fads? The Issues Etc. journal also contains an article by Dr. Stephen Hine. He's a regular guest on the program. He's written an article on getting clear on sanctification. Is the Christian motivated to do good works in order to receive eternal rewards? It's a good question. Find out the answer in the next Issues Etc. journal. You can also read a testimonial from the religion editor of United Press International, Uwe Simonetto. We'll send you this next issue absolutely free. 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Call now. Call during this break. Pastor Mark Sell is senior editor of academic, professional, and consumer books for Concordia Publishing House, based here in St. Louis. When we come back from this break, we're going to take up the issue of the role of healing in the Old and New Testament. He talked about that unity of spirit and body, soul and body, that man is. Therefore, if sin affects us spiritually, it also has its physical effects. Illness, sickness, disease, weakness, age, and ultimately death. Do we find this unity in the Old Testament? Do we find this unity in the New Testament? And what were the roles of healing, miracles, and healing in the ministry of Jesus and of his apostles? We'll answer all those questions on the other side of the break. Have your Bibles open, if you would, to Psalm 103, the first couple verses there. That's where we're going to begin when we talk about the role of healing in the Old Testament right after this. Is physical health an important aspect of biblical teaching? What is the biblical model of health? Does this health extend beyond our bodies to other aspects of our lives? In our Issues Etc. book of the month for September, you'll find answers to these questions. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for September is called Order Restored, a Biblical Interpretation of Health, Medicine, and Healing. You can order the Issues Etc. book of the month for September by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section. You'll find Order Restored, a Biblical Interpretation of Health, Medicine, and Healing. It's our Issues Etc. book of the month for September. 1-800-325-3040.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Dr. Art Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Just, what makes Concordia Theological Seminary unique?
When you come onto our campus, the first thing you see, the thing that stands out architecturally, is our chapel. It stands at the highest point of our campus. And I think in many ways that is symbolic of what is most important at our seminary. We have a very rich worship life, and that's because our entire theology is centered in the fact that we believe that Christ's presence among us in word and sacrament as we gather together for worship is what forms future pastors into the kinds of caring shepherds that we hope that they can be. That that chapel extends into the classroom, and our classes are very rigorous in terms of their academics. But I think what strikes people when they come and visit our campus and see our students and visit our classes is how deeply pastoral our life is here, that our theology isn't just academic, it's real-life theology. We're interested in real life and theology that affects the people of this world who have real lives. The reason I think that, that's at the center of our life is because of the real presence of Christ. We believe in the real life of Christ being present among us. And our entire campus, in a sense, vibrates by that presence that comes out of the chapel in our worship life that it extends in every aspect of our life here. I think you can see that what is perhaps unique about our campus is that it is Christ-centered, and we are a place where people treat each other in a Christ-like way. So it's a campus that is really a delight to have worked in for 20 years and to be a part of, and I think everybody who comes here is always, as our president says, refreshed and renewed by the experience.
Tell us a little more about the worship life on campus there.
What we try to do in our chapel is to help our students come and receive the gifts that are from Christ's presence. We are first and foremost a worshiping community. But we also realize that as a seminary, we are a place that is a teaching chapel. So we are constantly aware of the fact that we are teaching our students about our worship life and modeling it to them and to the people who visit us. And so people who come to our campus always find that when they leave our chapel, that they have been transformed. They have been transformed because Christ has been there.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit them on the web, www.ctsfw.edu.
Historical theology is not just a bunch of names and dates and fact. It's the study of Christ being faithful to his promises.
Dr. Larry Rast of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the importance of historical theology.
Historical theology is the study of theology over the course of time, just like the title says, theology over the course of time. But that can lead some to think that this is a dry, kind of an abstract endeavor, when in fact, what we're talking about with historical theology is the faithful confession ongoing through the church by people that Christ has called, seeing him fulfill the promise that he will never leave the church orphaned or forsaken.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit their website, www.ctsfw.edu.
For those of you listening to us in mid-Missouri, we got a bit of a treat for you. We're going to be coming to Columbia, Missouri on Thursday, October the 7th for a live broadcast of Issues, Etc. And I'd like to invite you to join Dr. Ken Sherb, Pastors Peter Kurowski and Eric Rotman, and me as we broadcast from 3 to 6 in the afternoon at Trinity Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Now, after the broadcast, there's going to be a meal and a Q&A session. The meal requires a $10 ticket, so you need to call this number tomorrow if you'd like to come to this live broadcast on October the 7th. The number is 1-888-930-4438. Ask for a meal ticket for that October 7th live broadcast, 1-888-930-4438. Bring a fellow church member, a neighbor, a family member, a friend for a live broadcast of Issues, Etc. from 3 to 6 in the afternoon on Thursday, October the 7th at Trinity Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. For more information and to get a meal ticket there, 1-888-930-4438. We're talking about healing. Pastor Mark Sell is our guest, senior editor of Academic, Professional, and Consumer Books for Concordia Publishing House based here in St. Louis. Mark, Psalm 103, the first few verses, I will read them briefly, and I'd like you to comment on the role of healing in the Old Testament based upon this simple passage. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits,
who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, and so on. What does this say about the role of healing in the Old Testament?
Well, this harkens back to what we spoke about earlier, Todd, with this understanding that there's this wholeness, whole, W-H-O-L, the wholeness of God in the Old Testament, where the whole body, the whole soul, it is all one thing together. So when you look at Psalm 103, you have the blessings of God taking place. You're addressing the soul, but you're also going on and saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits." Not only in verse 3 does he forgive your iniquities, but he also heals all your diseases. It goes hand in hand, the whole Old Testament. For instance, the Levitical priesthood and the Levitical cleanliness and laws and those kinds of things. It's an understanding that you have this the outward infirmities and diseases were also completely tied to your holiness, H-O-L-I-N, holiness of God, where you look at God is holy and therefore I shall be holy. It is reflected in the physical reality of the world. And so in Psalm 103, you have these two things coming together, both the physical and the spiritual, as one reality in God's eyes. Bless the Lord, all, O my soul, and forget all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. It goes hand in hand.
In the New Testament, what was the role of healing in the ministry of Jesus and then later of his apostles?
Well, boy, that's something I wish we could spend a lot of time on, but I realize that we've got to focus on what really counts here, and what really counts is the kingdom of God. When it comes to the diseases and Jesus' healing in the New Testament, it's always a message of fulfilling the Old Testament signs of this is the Messiah. The Messiah, the anointed one, the one who is anointed to pay for the sins of the world, to heal the diseases, to bring all of creation back into order. And this is the mark of the kingdom of God. So when you look at when you look at the reality of something like, for instance, Matthew chapter 4, 23 and following, and Jesus went about Galilee teaching in their synagogues, he goes right to where they teach the scriptures, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. Again, it completely comes together, but the focus is not just the healing, Todd. The focus is the reality that this is the mark of the kingdom of God. This takes us back to what we said earlier about Genesis, where God created everything to be perfect, everything to be holy, where everything is supposed to be united. Physically in the world perfect, as well as spiritually perfect, and now Christ himself in his messianic age marks the new order again. He's bringing forth the new perfection, the new creation, if you will. It's a foretaste even of the last day.
So there in the Old Testament, God, he forgives all your iniquities. Here in Jesus, preaching that gospel, the good news of forgiveness for sinners in his coming sacrifice. Those who heard this received this forgiveness, but Jesus didn't heal everybody. The apostles didn't heal everyone who is sick.
No, exactly. And this is why when we realize healing and even raising the dead in the New Testament, you're still dealing with the reality that Jesus, for instance, wrote three people he raised from the dead. All right. But they still died. They still came back around and died. Jesus did not heal everybody that he came into contact with, but it was still a mark of the messianic kingdom to say, this is the one about whom the prophets prophesied. I am the Messiah. I am he. And so this is how the people recognized that this was Jesus, because there was no one else who had been like Jesus up to this point. And so they realized it was the fulfillment of the Old Testament taking place right before them, and the healings and the resurrections were all marks of the messianic kingdom.
Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. We're talking about healing with Pastor Mark Sale. Feel free to give us a call on that subject, 1-800-730-2727. So, Mark, are the biblical accounts of miraculous healing that we find there in the Old and New Testament, are they normative for the church today? Should we expect miraculous healing around every street corner in the church today?
No. Then brings us to some of the things we talked about earlier. When we look at the miracles and the healings and try to make them the issue of Christianity, we miss out on Jesus Christ. We miss out on the kingdom of God. We miss out on the forgiveness of sins. Now, at the same time, I do not want to say that God cannot heal. God can heal, and he does heal. He has healed people, and he does heal people today still. But it is not the understanding that, well, if you're going to be Christian, if you're a Christian, you're going to be healed, because even at his time, he did not heal everybody. There are only certain people that he healed. But even those people that he healed still ended up dying. Otherwise, they'd still be around today. So today, it is not the norm that we are looking for the healings anymore, because the messianic kingdom has come in Jesus Christ. He came to live the holy and perfect life for us. He came to take on our diseases, our iniquities. He paid for our sins upon the cross. He rose from the dead, and now we look forward to the last days ourselves, where by faith we are made whole, by faith we are perfect, by faith we are totally and completely forgiven, and now we just wait for the last day when it will be completely realized ourselves.
So before we go to the phone calls, it sounds as though in the ministry of Jesus and the apostles, and still in the church today, what healing is, the healing that does prevail, is always intended to point past itself to the healer himself, to the great physician of body and soul, to Christ, the crucified and risen Savior. And if you're there for the healing alone, you're missing the whole point.
Exactly. That's part of the theology of glory that we talked about earlier. If you're there for the healing, you're missing the point of the cross of Christ and the essence of Christianity, which is the forgiveness of sins.
Folks, if you have a question or comment on healing, 1-800-730-2727, our Issues Etc. forum at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section, 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk first with Bonnie. She listens in Santa Cruz, California on KFAX.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Bonnie.
I am absolutely thrilled to death driving over this mountain with being safe, just praising God that somebody is there with common sense and a heart open to letting everybody hear out there that these Pray TV guys that, you know, demand us to work our way there and to be totally on top of things and not pointing out that we are humans and that Jesus Christ died so that we could be healed and lean on him and not be expected to be perfect and whole. Thank you so much for being there.
Bonnie, thank you very much. We're happy to do that. Your response here with about a minute before we go to our break, Mark.
Well, I appreciate Bonnie's comments, because I think most people, when we look at our real lives, we realize each one of us suffer in our own way. There isn't a person who doesn't suffer from some sort of sickness, some sort of disease, some sort of hardship, some sort of breaking apart. It's the problem with sin in this world, and this is why Christ is the answer to that sin, because of the forgiveness that he brings to us and the hope that he gives to us, and yet it gives us the courage and strength to carry on with our daily lives, no matter what it is we have to face, no matter what hardship comes our way. Christ is there to get us through it and to give us the strength to get through it and endure.
Folks, we're coming to you this Sunday live. It's September the 19th. We'll be taking more of your phone calls on the other side of the break. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. And our forum is found at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section. Post a question or a comment there on healing. And as time permits, we'll also get to some of those questions and comments. You know what strikes me about a lot of the faith healers? It's an utter dearth, an utter lack of any real sound biblical instruction on healing or knowledge on their part. Healing seems to be kind of the carte blanche black check that God has given to every Christian, and they peddle it as though they were peddling so much merchandise. Very seldom does that healing point to the healer himself, to Jesus. What they need is a good, solid theological education. Now, if you've ever thought about getting one of those, becoming a pastor someday, and preaching the truth about healing and about the cross, I encourage you to contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Many of the guests that you hear here on Issues, etc., are members of the faculty at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. If you'd like for more information, you can call them toll-free, 1-800-481-2151. I'm sorry, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit them on the web at ctsfw.edu. It's Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly contributor to Issues, Etc. To find out how you can become a confessor, an apologist, or a reformer, check out page 8 of the latest Issues, Etc. journal, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues, Etc., and you. Next week on Issues, Etc., we're going to discuss hate crimes. Greg Kokel of Stand to Reason will be our guest. It is now illegal in Canada to publicly condemn homosexuality. But is opposition to homosexuality really hate speech? Can someone be against hate crimes, genuine hate crimes, and still oppose hate crime legislation? We'll talk about it next week on Issues, Etc. with Greg Kokel. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the weeks ahead on the program, visit our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September. It's called Order Restored, A Biblical Interpretation of Health, Medicine, and Healing. And you can purchase Order Restored by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours. Their number, 1-800-325-3040. The book costs $20.99 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section and you'll find the book Order Restored. When you call or write, ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September, Order Restored. Now, if you've got a question or a comment on healing, give us a call, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Ricky listens in Kansas City on KCCV. Ricky, welcome to Issues, Etc.
How are you doing?
Very well.
Yes, sir. I would like to know, as far as today, where is the manifestation of what the books say? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:8 that Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. The word says, I'm God and I change not. And I would like to know, when I come to the Red Seas in this life and the Pharaohs of this life are behind me, where is that God that say he would cross me over to the other side?
Ricky, thank you very much for the question. Mark, where does God heal today? Where do we find it today?
Well, I appreciate Ricky's comment, because the fact that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow is the very reason why earlier I started this whole conversation with Genesis and the creation and how God created all things and God created mankind and how he breathed life into man, and that it's total and complete, and there was a perfect order of creation that existed until sin came into the world. And today, God still does perform miracles, but the focus is not the miraculous things outside of even the created order. Today, God works these miracles all the time, but he does it through doctors. He does it through medicine. He does it through nurses. He does it through moms who take care of their kids when they're sick. He does it through the family coming together and giving support.
Somebody says, that's not God. That's medicine. That's the hospital. That's doctors. That's not God.
But that's exactly the point of the Old Testament and New Testament, as how they come together, and there is no spiritual course versus the physical course. In other words, the physical and the spiritual are united. And the fact is, God created all these things for the very purpose of serving us and serving our fellow man through all these things that have been created. And so therefore, it is God. It is praising God. It is worshiping God. It is God himself then working through things as simple as changing diapers and giving medicine to your children and giving them Benadryl when they have allergies or whatever the situation is. God does work through these things because he's the one who created all these things in the first place. That is how God works, through means, through things he created.
And are there still those miraculous, unexplainable, the doctor saying, I can't explain it, but this person is well, kind of healings that cannot be chalked up to the medicine or the treatment?
No question about it. They happen. They do happen throughout the world. I was a pastor for 14 years, and I saw that happen to some members in my congregation at time, where things would happen, and there's no other excuse other than saying, thy will be done, and thanks be to God that they happen. But even then, just like at the time of Jesus, the issue was never the miracle itself, other than being a mark of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is about the forgiveness of sins. How often did Jesus say, your faith has made you whole, and to understand it, and faith has that object in Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ. So yes, they do happen, but they don't become the focus of the Christian, even to the Christian that has happened to.
Christ has been raised, and you said that Christ's resurrection is the down payment for the future resurrection of us all. Does the resurrection of all flesh that Christ promised at his coming, does this ultimately answer and fulfill God's promise of order restored, of healing for all?
Yeah, I tell you this, let me back up just a little bit and bring the two things from the Old and the New Testament. It would be something like that we would say in English, the word peace. And the Old Testament is shalom. And the New Testament, it would be eirene, the Greek word eirene. These are words that mean peace or the wholeness, the completeness. But it's a peace that comes when all of creation and all of your life and all of your family relationships and your spiritual purity because of God's grace and mercy, it all comes together. All those things come together in these words of peace, the shalom, and the peace of God. It is understood. It's understood in the Aaronic blessing, for instance, where you have the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, peace. In the New Testament, Christ says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And now, to tie it to resurrection itself, what does Jesus say when he meets his disciples after the resurrection? He says, peace be unto you. It is this understanding that the resurrection itself is the evidence of the very peace of God, because it is all completely finished on the cross. I have risen from the dead, and now the peace is total and complete. And now by faith, this peace comes to us. And it's this understanding then of our life that we have peace in Christ, because he has come into this world. It encompasses the whole incarnation, the whole reality of God in the flesh. It encompasses this unity that God himself did not just hang out up in the heavens and say, good luck, kids. No, he came down into this earth and actually walked this earth, actually did what it took to save us from our sins. And what it took was his physically being here and becoming a human being like us. And so therefore, even as he became part of the creation itself, he overcame even sin and death itself. So when he rose from the dead, this whole understanding of peace, shalom, eirene in the New Testament, it all comes together when Christ announces, peace be with you.
Final question with only a minute. There is someone listening to us who is in pain. They're terminally ill. They are wondering, where is God? Does he still hear my prayers? Has he abandoned me? Does he hear my cries for mercy? Maybe he has abandoned me. What do you say to such a person?
Well, what I say to a person like that is the hope of the resurrection of Christ's words themselves. Peace be with you. And take time with that person to help them understand when Jesus, after he rose from the dead, announced peace be with you, that peace comes from the very suffering of Jesus Christ himself, the very one who took upon our sin and suffered beyond anything we could ever suffer, the very one who was actually abandoned by God the Father, when Christ cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet the will of God was done in that very moment, in that suffering where he took on hell and the wrath of God for my sins, where he took upon my diseases, my hurts, my pains, all of that is in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is where we understand the peace that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, because God does hear my prayers. He said he would come into the world. He did come into the world. He conquered death and he rose from the dead, and that's why we can have peace.
Folks, we'll continue to take your phone calls on healing in the next hour. Our call-in number, call during this break. We have free phone lines, 1-800-730-2727. The best callers will receive our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Order Restored, 1-800-730-2727. You can also post a question or a comment at our forum at our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You won't be able to hear this next hour on the radio. It's only on the Internet. So go to our website, issuesetc.org, click on the worldwide KFU logo, and listen to the next hour on healing on the Internet. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, September the 19th. Write this number down and call us during this break, 1-800-730-2727. We'll take phone calls directly on the other side of this break, 1-800-730-2727. The best callers will get our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Order Restored, a biblical interpretation of health, medicine, and healing. 1-800-730-2727. It says there in Isaiah 53, this speaking of our Lord at the cross, he took our illnesses, he carried our sorrows. We considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. That is true healing. Where do we look for healing in this life? Even when in this body, healing does not find itself in evidence. Even when sickness continues or grows worse, even when death comes knocking at our door, we find that healing in the perfect wounds of Jesus Christ. There at the cross, in his blood shed for us, in him carrying our illnesses. We find it in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, and we will find it when he raises us from the dead as well. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.